Let's open to the ninth chapter of Psalms, please. I really desire your prayers. This is an old, what I'm going to call an old evangelistic message. Very serious message. One of the most serious a man could preach out of the Word of God, in my opinion. But I got to have the Lord's help to do it. I need your prayers. Ninth chapter of the good book of Psalms. We'll start reading here about the 15th verse. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. I want to preach on the subject tonight. Yes. Hell is real. You don't hear this subject talked on a whole lot anymore. It's brought up occasionally. I've heard it quite a bit through my times of living for the Lord. But the bottom line is tonight, hell is real. Yes, there is still a hell. Yes. People want to downplay it, wipe it out, forget it, don't have anything to do with it, so to speak, as far as acknowledging it. But the bottom line, folks, there is a hell. Yes. There's a heaven. People want to say, well, God loves you so much, he won't send you to hell. But the bottom line is tonight, we send our own selves to hell. It's not the fact that God puts us there. I mean, he makes the final declaration, so to speak, depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But the bottom line is, we send our own selves to hell. And tonight he said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The wicked. The wicked shall be. This is not something that there's going to be a purgatory. This is not something where you're going to have extended this or that. But it said they shall be turned into hell. The wicked. If you examine this scripture and think about it and consider it, this scripture covers everybody outside of people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Those people that are not saved are going to be lost. They're going to be lost in the devil's hell. A place that's hot, it's torment. A place that is full of people tonight by the thousands and the thousands. It said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I was thinking about that and examined this idea of forgot. Thinking, well, what does they mean here? Forgot means to lose the remembrance of, let go from the memory. It also means to slight, to neglect. To slight means to neglect. To disregard from the consideration that a thing is of little value and unworthy of notice, as to slight the divine commands or the offers of mercy. To neglect means to omission, forbearance, to do anything that can be done or that requires to be done. Neglect may also be from carelessness or intention. Neglect to slight. Not to notice, to forbear, to treat with attention or respect. Now tonight, dear ones, have you forgot Jesus? Have you forgot the plan of God? Have you forgot the one that is having mercy on you every day that you can even be alive? The multitude of the people tonight is forgetting God. They're slighting God. They're not having anything to do with God.
Do you like to be slighted? Say you had a real good friend, and that friend come around and slighted you, so to speak, paid you no attention, didn't want to have anything to do with you. Would it bother you? Would it upset you, so to speak? Would you wonder, what did I do wrong? Well, what about God tonight? The one that made you, created you, the one that's got all power in heaven and earth to keep you alive, to keep you well, to help you, to bless you, to back you, to do things for you. And yet the most of the mankind is walking around not paying any attention. They're forgetting. They're sliding. They're refusing to have anything to do with God tonight. They don't want to take notice of. They don't want to work with. They don't want to count a value. The one that has done something for them. They're like a bunch of hogs in a pen, so to speak. They're rooting around eating the acorns, and they're not looking up. Remember where the acorns come from. Hell. Hell is real tonight. Hell is real. It's not something that's fictitious. It's not something that is of no being, so to speak. But tonight, do we count Jesus? Do we count His blood unworthy of notice? It says here to disregard from the consideration that a thing is of little value. Tonight, is Jesus the life He lived? The death He died, the resurrection, the blood He shed, is that of little value to you tonight? Does it matter to you of what He went through? Brother Leslie was talking yesterday about what His back was like when He got through. I've read an account, and maybe some of you have read it, about a doctor that wrote about this. And he said in that, he said that the end of those straps or whatever you want to call them, he said that they'd taken bone that was hooked. And that hook was in such a way that when they took that and hit it like that, said those people had a way, the Roman soldiers had a way of hooking that, and it would rip the skin, and it would also hook tendons and so forth and muscles and pull them right out of the back. Pull them out and expose them. Now then, Jesus suffered a horrible death, and the multitude of the people are going along, sliding Him. It doesn't seem to matter whether He lived, He died, whether He shed His blood, yes or no. The bottom line was, Jesus, give His all for your salvation tonight, for your power, for your blessing, for your glory. And yet most of the people are totally sliding, forgetting, disregarding, and not giving Him any time of day like He ought to have. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Oh, tonight, that covers everyone outside the redeemed. There is a lot of people tonight that are forgetting God. Let's look at it from another angle. Sisters, if you was to bake a cake, and you got all your ingredients out except maybe the main ingredient and didn't put the main ingredient in the cake, what would happen to it? Wouldn't be worth much, would it? Somebody in this building baked me a chocolate cake here a while back. During Brother Michael's meeting, they had shot in. Her husband and family brought it down to me, and they discussed whether to give me the whole cake or part of the cake. You know, and they knew I loved chocolate, so the husband said, let's just give him all of it. If he can't eat it all, he'd throw it away. But the bottom line was, she must have used all the right ingredients because it was delicious, and I couldn't hardly quit eating it till I got it all eaten, so to speak. Listen tonight, when you and I forget Jesus, when you and I forget the very one that has done everything that He has, that has redeemed and blessed and worked with people for thousands of years, so to speak, that individual, when we leave him out, we're leaving out the main ingredient of life, the one that makes life what it is, the one that helps us to live with power and glory and do things we couldn't do otherwise. Listen, Jesus is the one. And when you leave him out, you're leaving the main ingredient of life right out of your soul. Oh, tonight, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Hell is a place or state of torture and punishment for the wicked after death. The infernal powers of evil and darkness, torment and anguish, something that causes agony. Oh, tonight, you don't want to go to a place called hell. You don't want to go there. Let's go to the 55th chapter of Psalms. Psalm 55, and look there. 55 and 15, I think it is. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Oh, tonight, let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. At the end of every man's life is God. You and I are going to deal with Him. There's people that forgetting, pushing off, running, hiding, doing everything they can do not to have anything to do with God in Christ. But listen, folks, tonight, when we step out in death and we sail out into eternity, however that's going to be, at that point, you and I are dealing with the one that rules eternity, the one that is the God of the eternity, and we're going to meet Him face to face. We can't hide them. We can't cry under the bed. We can't climb behind a testimony. We can't climb behind anything. We're going to deal with Him face to face, and that right there is going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are hypocrites that think, "I've got it made. I am what I am." But the bottom line is, if we're not what we ought to be, and if we don't have the blood applied to our soul, when we step out into eternity with the pureness and the holiness and the righteousness of God, there's going to be a lot of people have an eye opener, because Jesus is holy. And holy, holy, holy. We're going to deal with that holiness. And it says, go down quick into hell. There's not going to be a vacation from the time you die and the time you hit hell, folks. It's going to be pretty fast. It's going to be quick. So tonight, the best thing to do is get everything settled on this side so that when you get on the other side, you'll have it set up, set made. Let's go to the 5th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 5. We'll start reading here about the 11th verse. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, they may follow strong drink that continue into night to wine inflame them. And the harp and the vial, the tabret, the pipe, the wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and open her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Oh, tonight, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Woe unto them. I dealt with a man a while back that I guess he was saved at one time. I'm not his judge. Brother Michael knows who I'm talking about. I name names. But he is one of the saints' sons. The problem of it was he got himself into adultery. And that second wife got him drinking wine. And one thing went from bad to worse. Till they called me for prayer one day, and they said, if I remember right, he had a wet mind. And I'm thinking, what is a wet mind? I think that's what they call it. It's been some months back now. And anyway, I hadn't asked Don in a long time, but I think that's what they called it, a wet mind. And the bottom line was, he was in such an intoxicated state that he would never come out of it. He would never be right again. He would possibly die that very way. Well, there was a lot of prayer put upon, prayed and fasting and so forth. I don't know just what all. And God was begged and pleaded. But the man had followed that. He had been warned. He had been pleaded with. He had been told all of these different things. But he just kept doing what he was doing. And he kept going on drinking, till he hit this place. And when he hit rock bottom, so to speak, he began to turn. But it all started out with wine. That's what I've been told anyway. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, the Bible said. If anybody offers you a drink, you better run. Brother Michael, last night used the word no. To me, the word know is one of the most proper words in the Christian language. When people approach you and try to get you to do something just like that, take a drink or whatever, why it won't hurt you? Just a little wine. It'll be all right. Just a little this or just a little that. No, no, no. I'm not for sale. I'm not going to be bought. I have a salvation that I'm going to keep and hold on to because I respect God. I'm going to keep my integrity. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord. They regard not. That connects right back in to what I was just talking of in 9 and 17 of Psalms. They don't regard the work of the Lord. Today, people are staying away from meeting more than they ever have. And I'm not just talking about us particularly, but this is at least around the United States. I don't know how it is worldwide particularly, but the bottom line is they don't really regard the work of the Lord. It's just something that is just a go to and do. Used to that multitudes of people, they couldn't wait to go to church on Sunday. They couldn't wait to hear the singing. They couldn't wait to hear the praying, the preaching, and so forth. Now them people don't regard the work of God much anymore. They don't regard, they forget, they slight the very work of God. They don't want to have anything to do with it, so to speak. They neither consider the operation of his hands. Listen, like I was saying a while ago, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He is still working, still blessing, still healing, still saving, still redeeming, still casting out devils. If you don't believe it, just get Brother Michael up here and let him talk to you for a while. And what he meets in Pakistan, what he does here and what he does there in these foreign countries, of how God is delivering, how God is blessing, how God is working. Listen, God is still delivering. He's still working by the operation of his hand. He's still got power. He's still got grace. He's still got love. He's still doing everything that needs to be, just like he's done all the way down through the years, praise God. The operation of his hands is mighty. He's got the greatest arm of strength that can reach down and pull anybody out of the depths of sin and deliver them and clean them up and save them and whatever they need. Heal their bodies and bless them and work with them. He has got the power of his hands, the operation of his hands. It's clean, it's pure, it's holy, it's right. And God tonight is wanting to help everybody in here that needs help, praise God. The operation of his hands are wonderful. I'm thankful he walked up my way 42-something years ago. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself without measure. Now then, if you can give me a scripture that says something like that about heaven, I want to read it. I don't know of a scripture that says heaven's enlarged herself. Now then, heaven, according to what I'm reading lately, heaven is a large place. Very large. Beautiful. Glorious. But the bottom line is this. The reason I believe this is written this way is because the multitude of the people are on the broad way. The scripture reflects that. That the broad way, there's multitudes of people on that broad way going down and going in the hill all the time, constantly, day in and day out. There's thousands of people dying lost every day. Brother Simmons had a vision one time, and in that vision he was going down the side of a road, a broad road. He said there was a lot of people going down this road, numbers and numbers of them. He said there was a great chasm down here. And he said that he could hear the wails and the moans and the groans of those that were lost. They were wailing, they were crying, they were begging, they were pleading. And he said he said they would get close to it and they would realize where they were at and they would pull back and try to stop. But the force of those behind would shove them right on over into this great chasm and they would fall down crying and wailing and so forth. He said he was on the side. Turn around, stop, don't go. He was doing everything he said in vision to keep those people from being lost. Listen, folks, tonight, hell hath enlarged herself without measure, bless your heart. Hell is a place that is growing, so to speak, by the very fact that the multitude of the lost people are going there. They're going there by the multitudes. open their mouth without measure and their glory. Oh, there's people out there that have a lot of glory. Was in a doctor's office one time cleaning many, many, many years ago. I don't remember if Earl was there or not. But we were doing floors there, if I remember right. This was a doctor. And this man had plaques all over the walls. This. I thought, this fella's got a lot of glory, so to speak. And I looked at him while I was working. I'd read them, trying to make sure I didn't hit nothing, but I was reading them and studying them and looking at them, and I think I told those that's with me, I said, this man's got quite a setup, so to speak, of all the honors and all the glory that he's received down through the years. He's got a lot of that. But listen, folks, tonight, your glory, a man's glory, will not keep you out of hell. It'll go there. You can have all the honor. There's presidents, no doubt, that probably go there. Senators, kings, queens, different ones, high officials, rich, actors, actresses, people that have a lot of glory, so to speak. They're highly looked up to by the world. And those people are lost tonight by the multitudes going down into a devil's hell, no doubt. Hell hath enlarged herself. Their glory, their multitude, their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend to it. And the mean man shall be brought down, the mighty man shall be humbled, the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Oh, tonight, no matter how big you are, when you get there, when you deal with Jesus, you will deal with Jesus. You will deal with one that will humble you down. The very thought, the very meeting with Christ is going to humble you. It's going to bring you down real low. Yes. There won't be no big this or big that. It'll be down on your knees probably, confessing, looking, pleading, begging. Well, I didn't know. I wish I had a little more time. I wish I hadn't done this and that and so forth. Begging for mercy. It'll be too late then, folks. Let's go to Matthew, the 10th chapter, 28th verse. Desire your prayers. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear tonight, a feeling of alarm or disquiet caused by awareness or expectation of danger. To be afraid of, to be in awe of. I would like, by the help of the Holy Ghost, to stir an alarm in you tonight. That hell is real. It's not something to play with, so to speak. You don't know how much longer you're going to live. Nobody in here can tell me the time they're going to die. There could be a young people killed tonight. There could be a whole carload of young people killed tonight. One of us could just drop dead and go out in eternity. There have been people that died right there in church services and gone and went right out into eternity. Listen, we do not know when we're going to die. We do not know when we're going to see Christ or meet Christ. So consequently, I would like to stir you to the fact that since you do not know that, you need to be prepared to die tonight. Yes. Right now. You need to be ready to die at any moment, any time, 24 hours a day. Because you don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what you're going to meet up with. There's been a multitude of people left home and never got back alive. Fear. The fear of God today is probably at its lowest ebb of ever been. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I'm too far off. If you do not have a feeling of alarm tonight at the thought of going to hell, your fear is not what it should be. It's weighing down like other folks has. And a multitude of people tonight are not fearing God like they ought to. It doesn't seem to matter. He's just another individual, so to speak. It'll be all right. I can get into heaven another way or so forth. The bottom line is hell is real, folks, and you need to be prepared to go to heaven. It's going to take time to get ready to go. Let's go to Matthew 25. Hell is real. Back when I was fairly young, 14, 15, maybe 16, I don't know for sure when this happened. We moved out to that particular home when I was 11, and I left there when I was 25, and I know it was before I was 20, best I remember. But I was into showing chickens. Brother James, you're not the only chicken man around. I showed them. I took them to shows and showed them. And there was a Kiwanis Club there was another one, that they would provide us with 50 broilers. We would raise these broilers up. Then we would kill them. We had certain ways that we had to clean them, so to speak, and get them to where that everything was just perfect. And then you would take five of the best of you out of your 50 that you'd kill, and you would take them to a show, and you could win prizes. Well, basically what you've done is they awarded one, two, three spots, maybe four, and then they auctioned those birds off, and sometimes the top winner can make several $100s, maybe $1,000, $2,000, $1,500 because of these five birds. Well, we had a house that we used, and this house caught fire. Around this house, particularly on one side, we had some outdoor cages. These cages were all metal, flooring, metal sides, metal tops, so to speak. They had pans in them to catch the droppings, and they were all steel. I want you to get that in mind. They were all steel. They were sitting right up beside this building. This building wasn't huge. It was fairly decent size, but it wasn't huge. And it caught fire. And it was during the broiler season, best I remember. And anyway, in this one particular pen I'm thinking about, there was some chickens in there. And as that fire raged, and as that heat escalated, I watched particularly one or two birds in there, and they were moving just as fast as they can. That heat and that metal was getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And they were just moving around, jumping, and of course they were making noises, and they were panicking, and they were scared. They didn't know what to do, so to speak. That fire was really blazing, and it was just a frame building anyway, so it wasn't a brick or anything. It was just a frame building, and it went up pretty quick, and went up and burned, and went burned plumb to the ground. But the bottom line is these chickens were just moving. And then all of a sudden they got slower. And they got slower, and they got slower, till they died. The heat, the horror. 25th chapter of Matthew, and the 30th verse said, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, weeping to mourn, to grieve, to shed tears." Gnashing teeth is to grind together, strike together as in anger. Oh, tonight, there's multitudes of people tonight that are in hell that's burning in the lake of fire. There's a lot of weeping going on down there. There's a lot of gnashing of teeth. Now then, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Grieving is hard work. It's exhausting. When you lose one like I lost in my wife, the relationship that her and I had, we was a good team, we were a couple, we loved one another, we worked together well, and consequently when she died it was like I was ripped in half, and the bottom line is I have grieved more tears and shed and bawled over Becky, I've sobbed over Becky over and over and over for over 11 months now. It's hard work. I'm grieving over her. I'm grieving over the relationship we had. The hole she left in my heart. She told me point blank, looked at me and she said, "Sweetheart, I don't want to have to put
I don't want you to suffer. She knew what it would do to me.
In the same way, if I would have died, probably would have done the same thing to her. She was good to me. Listen, folks, tonight, you're going to be weeping over the fact that you're in hell, that you'll never have a chance to get out of hell. The fact that the most horrible thing about hell to me is the fact that the presence of God will never be in hell. The presence, the power, the glory, there'll be no chance of repentance. There'll be no chance of deliverance. There'll be no chance of the Word of God being read and the blessings and so forth that you and I have in these meetings and so forth. It will never be down there. The wailing, the weeping, the pleading, the begging. Oh, if I'd have just done this. The thinking about the time or the times that you had a chance to go to the altar or pray at home or when that minister was begging you to get saved. Those times will bring tears, folks. Those times will make you want to do something, but you can't do it no more. You're bound into a place you can never get out of. It could be weeping. There's going to be wailing. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. All right, let's go to some of the most famous scriptures connected with hell, the rich man and Lazarus, 16th chapter of Luke. Sometimes men and clock don't get along too good. No matter how fast I preach, it moves faster. Luke 16:19 of Luke. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels now into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now I want you to connect here. The word torment is several times in these scriptures right here. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. How sumptuously are you living today? We have a lot of people in America that's living the high life. They're living sumptuously. They're having a good time. They're enjoying life. And we have a lot of people today, probably more than it's been in a while, that's in dire straits and can't hardly find food to eat. There's probably thousands of them out there on both sides of the fence, so to speak. And he said here that the rich man died and was buried and in hell. Again, it said he was buried and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off. He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Listen, folks. He cried, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. It's too late to cry, have mercy then, folks. We need to cry now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time that you and I could get help. We're not going to get any mercy once we get there. Mercy's cut off at that point. There'll be no more mercy in hell to be had. Listen, he has given Moses and the prophets, he's given the preachers, the evangelists, the pastors, he's given us a job to do. But all in one rise from the dead, they'll listen to him. No, they won't. The bottom line is, if they won't hear us, they won't hear anybody. For the bottom line is, God anoints his preachers and sets them on fire and uses them to preach the gospel. And that is the way of the operation of his hands. And the people are not regarding it. They're not paying any attention to it. And so consequently, if that won't move, then nothing will. I was preaching on a subject like this in Holly Hill many years ago. The old General Sammons was there. And that particular night, their furnace got messed up somehow. And at that time, they did not have central heating air. They had one furnace in the back wall, and they had a floor heater over here. Yeah, a floor heater over here. And so the thermostat got stuck. And as I was preaching, now this is no lie, folks, as I was preaching, the heat in that building just started climbing. It got hotter and it got hotter. And the harder I preached, the hotter it got. And they looked around. And Brother Tommy went back there, and I think he fooled with it. He couldn't get it to do anything. It just kept getting hotter. They were getting a little minor effect of the heat of hell, so to speak. It's not just minor, real minor. But the bottom line was, listen, folks, tonight, it's hot down there. There's fire down there. I tell you tonight, if I was to start a fire right out here in the middle of this floor and get it blazing, how many of you would run and jump in that fire? Any takers? You wouldn't do it. You've got common sense when it comes to the outward body. But what about the soul that is more valuable than all the world? Are we going to allow that to burn forever in eternity's hellfire? Oh, tonight, I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented. Great pain or anguish, a source of harassment or pain, is torment. I am tormented in this flame, he said. And Abraham's son said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. He brought him back to what he had. He brought him back to what he had. He had it made on earth. You may feel like you've got it made on earth. And maybe you do. But listen, folks, if we don't get our soul prepared for eternity in heaven, it's not going to do us any good to fare sumptuously down here. The beggar ended up better than the rich man. Lazarus had it made. When he got to heaven, bless his heart, he was in Abraham's bosom and he had it made. But the rich man that had everything he could want down here, he didn't do so good on the other side. He was lost and burning in a devil's hell. Oh, tonight, he said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Remember. Remember all of that. Likewise, Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. I just read a book, Within Heaven's Gates. It was given to me by a cousin when I went to the LaRonger meeting just back in November. I didn't pay attention to the author. I found out later by Sister Maxine, I'd read this book, she'd give it to me, but because the covers were different, I was putting them together by what was in the book, but as far as the cover, it didn't connect anything. But the inside was telling me. But anyway, I got over to page 18, I think it was, and I turned that page, and at the top of that page, it said Rebecca's Heavenly Mansion. The author's name is Rebecca Springer. I didn't realize that. Never rung a bell.
Can you imagine what it done to my mind when I looked at that and I saw that and some other thoughts hit my mind and the tears begin to flow? But listen, folks, tonight, heaven is real too. There's glory. There's peace. There's joy. There's singing. She described it as the most beautiful, beautiful place. And when she met Jesus, the author of love, the one that is a very everything of love. When she met him, all that blessing of just meeting the master, the one that died for her, the one that shed his blood for her, and all the glory that was all around was a beautiful, beautiful place.
Now then, that's where Abraham went. And that's where Lazarus went. And they're up there having all the blessings. Having all the blessings. He is comforted, but thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Tonight, one's comforted and one's tormented. Now then, I don't have the time to do it, but if I could go through and explain what she taught in this group. The beauty, the glory. And think about it, folks. Now then, if you would end up in hell, and I don't know now, I'm just going over this scripture, and you can look up and you can see what they had up there and what you didn't have here. The agony and the wailing and the grinding of teeth, the gnashing of teeth, and the pain and the fire and the torment. And you can look up there and see all the glory and the blessings and maybe hear something, see something up there. I'm going to guarantee you it'd bring a lot of wailing and weeping. Yes. Because of the beauty. Oh, she described it. And others are too, the beauty, the light, the singing, the power, the glory. There's nothing like it. And yet people that go to hell, it's a place of darkness, of flames, of fire, of torment, of agony, of pain, of heart, soul, mind, and body, so to speak. Well, not mind and body, maybe, but all the soul burning and burning down there, but never being able to be consumed. Go to the ninth chapter of Mark. Hell is real, folks. Nine and 43. Thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It brings out the eye, it brings out the hand, and it brings out the foot. There's a lot of people that have got their hands into things they shouldn't have them into. I don't believe this is talking about cutting off your literal hand. But what it is explaining, the way I've told it many times down through the years, is the bottom line, if you're doing things that you should not be doing, there's a lot of people that has got their hands into dishonest things, got their hands into money laundering and all kind of different things. And if you're doing things tonight that's wrong, that's dishonest, that's not pleasing to God, it'd be better to cut that hand off than to be lost. In other words, quit doing what you're doing. Give it up. Run from it. Same way with the feet and the eyes. If you're going places that you shouldn't be going, there are multitudes of people tonight that is getting and going and seeing things and doing things that they shouldn't be there. Stop it. Leave it alone. The eyes. There's people that are looking into things and getting their eyes and seeing things. The multitude of the adulterous eyes is, how do I want to say this, is horrible today. People need to quit doing those kind of things. It'd be better to pluck one out, so to speak. Stop it. Cut it out. It said there that into the fire that never shall be quenched. This fire shall never be quenched. To put out or extinguish, never will. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever. So if you get there and you're in that fire, there's no way it's ever going to be put out. Jesus is not one day just going to stop hell and take all them to heaven sometime. He's not going to do that. It's going to stay the same for all eternity. Never going to be quenched. The fire is not quenched. Shall never, never shall be quenched. Cast into hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. Let's go to Revelations as we wind it up. Chapter 20, 10th verse. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now it just totally brings out the thought of the false prophet here. Do you know that there's going to be a lot of so-called preachers lost? Maybe thousands of them. There is preachers that's in the pulpits across America that's not even saved. They don't even know what salvation is. They're living in adultery. I was in a funeral one time. Sister Belinda Simon's father. And the man that done the preaching of the funeral was his own son. And I watched this man. And the ones at Wichita that invited me to this funeral was watching me, I found out later. And I was sitting there in a state of shock because this man was doing things that was totally horrible at a funeral. If it was anointed, it would have been one thing, but it was not anointed. But the bottom line was, this man was jumping up and down, he was hooping, he was hollering, he was carrying on. I thought, that don't fit anywhere in this. So when the congregation got me by myself with them, they said, do you know what was wrong with that man, Brother Carl? I said, well, there were some bad spirits in there. I knew that much. Said, that man is an alcoholic. Oh. Said, he goes and gets drunk on Saturday night, spends the night in jail, and the congregation has to come get him out Sunday morning where he preach in his own chapel. I thought something was wrong. I knew something was wrong. He was drunk right during that funeral. And the Sister Belinda's father was quite a recognized minister. He had had a radio ministry for a number of years. He was quite an established man. I guess he was a good man as much as could be. His son preached a funeral. It wasn't him. It wasn't the son that was doing all this. It was the pastor of the congregation where the funeral was. I don't want to get that mixed up. His son actually preached a pretty good message. But when he got down to the point of nailing it, he didn't nail it. I sat there in horror thinking, sir, if you would just take the scripture and get it, you can do it. But he didn't do it. There's a scourge in the land, he was preaching over and over. And he went down to a point. And instead of going ahead and just taking the scripture and nailing it down and letting them know what they need to do, he just passed it over, sugarcoated it, and went on its way. But that one man was doing things, like I said, he was jumping up and down. And he was drinking. He was an alcoholic. How many more is like that across the land? False prophets. They get into it for the money. I know a preacher. Well, I don't know him. I know of him. No, maybe I better reword that. He's the pastor of the large Methodist church, I believe it is, in Shawnee. We had our TOPS meeting there. And I happened to see a report. It was laying on our table. I looked at it. He made $5,000 a month. He's making 12 hours. He's making 60 grand a year just in salary. He had a housing allowance. He had insurance. He had vacation. He had all kind of things. Now, I don't know anything much about him particularly, but the bottom line is there's a multitudes of people that are making big money in Babylon, so to speak, but a lot of those people are not even saved. They don't live the life. They're a false prophet. They're going to end up lost in the end. 21st chapter of Revelation, the 8th verse. But the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, people want to make it out that you can just do anything anymore. You can be a fornicator or a whoremonger and you're just fine. You can do anything, go to heaven. But that's not what this is saying, folks. The abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is real tonight. It's a place of fire and torment. It's a place of anguish. It's a place that you don't want to go. You want to run to Jesus. You want to get to the place of eternal salvation. Get to the place where that you can miss this place. You don't want to be in hell. And if it can be done. I mean, it said right there that he looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And I don't know what all he saw. But in the book that I read, 90 Minutes in Heaven, or whatever it's called, it said there that as he was coming in, he said the multitude or a number of people come out. This is heaven now. A multitude of people that was minister people that he knew, family, friends, mentors, and so forth. They come to meet him and love him and hug him and so forth. According to what she wrote in this other book, they did hug one another. They knew one another. She knew her brother-in-law. She knew her friends. She knew her family. And one time it said there was two nieces that come running and said, "Hi, Rebecca." Oh, Marie. I can just think of two or three of Rebecca's nieces and the tears begin to roll again. The bottom line is they knew one another. And the glory. And as this man was approaching, he said the light. He said the singing. Listen, folks, you can take Monarch and multiply it by probably hundreds of times and it won't come close to the singing, the glorious singing that's in heaven. And if you would be burning, if you would be wailing, if you would be remembering and thinking, I had a chance, the Lord was dealing with me, I was called to get saved, to live for God, and I didn't do it, and now then I'm in a burning hell, and I can look up and see that, all that glory, all that blessing, and I missed that. Listen, folks, you talk about whore, that'll be whore. That will bother you for eternity. Over and over and over. That one man, that minister that got killed, that come back, he said there to see him, and he said they was walking with him, and he got up to the gate.
And he said he was able to look through the gate before it was closed to him, so to speak. And he had to go back to earth. But he said he got to look inside. And he said all the gold. The streets of gold, he said. Now Rebecca Springer, in her book, she didn't mention too much about gold, but she talked about pearls. She talked about the most beautiful marble, the most fine colors and so forth, that you could just fathom and can't even get close to. And I've been in marble homes. I've been where the rich have built homes. But according to her, it was luscious and beautiful.
Looking up and seeing that, you could have had one. That mansion could have been mine. Do you want to miss that? Do you want to miss the glories of heaven and burn in a lake of fire? Again, let's make a fire. I want you to come jump into it right here. Would you do it? No. I beg you tonight, let's stand. 399. Let's stand. Let's get it settled tonight for Jesus. Let's get saved. Let's live for Him. Let's get ready to go to heaven tonight. We appreciate your time, your attentions, and your prayers here. Pray for me.